Hi, everyone. Just a reminder that this show is not legal advice, trading advice, financial advice, or personal advice. Enjoy the show, and thank you very much. This episode is supported by Winding Tree, a marketplace for the travel industry. Yo, yo, welcome to Crypto 101. This is Matthew Aaron, and today we have a special guest host. I present you with Ronnie Rose. And Ronnie Rose is talking to Veronica Reynolds, the coordinator of Cyber Days event at UCLA. And Cyber Days event is going to host a slew of amazing speakers, and they're going to tell you all about their products and projects on the blockchain or in the cryptocurrency space. So please enjoy this interview with Veronica. And by the way, we are giving away free tickets to the Cyber Days event at UCLA on the Facebook group. So if you're not part of the Facebook group, go to crypto101podcast.com. That's crypto101podcast.com. Go to the bottom of the page and you'll see all of our social icons. Click on the Facebook one, join our group. You can also join Instagram and Twitter and whatever else we have. You can go to our support page, become a Patreon. Thank you, patrons. You have always supported us, no matter if we have sponsors or supporters. You are always in our hearts. You can send us an email. Send an email to us. Say, what's up? How are you doing? And please, on your way down to scrolling to the bottom of the crypto101podcast.com page, check out the subscribe button. Please click on the iTunes subscribe button. This helps us move up the pack on iTunes so people can find us, and we will very much appreciate it. So please enjoy this interview with Veronica Reynolds, coordinator of Cyber Days event at UCLA, with host Ronnie Rose.
Wait, why do you shake your phone?
I'm trying to like undo typing. There we go.
Oh, that's okay. You undo typing that way?
Yeah, I don't like it. I wish they had another way to do it.
I had no idea. I just learned something new.
Okay. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Crypto 101. I'm your host, Ronnie Rose. And today we're talking with Veronica Reynolds, one of the leaders behind the upcoming Cyber Days conference in LA. Veronica, thanks for joining us. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me. It's so good to chat with you.
Yeah, we're excited to have you on here and to hear a little bit about Cyber Days. So why don't we start with you telling us about who you are, where you're from, your background, who you are outside of crypto, basically.
Yeah, so outside of crypto, I actually grew up on a farm in Whoa. The middle of nowhere in Michigan. Yeah. And so I spent a lot of time reading books, actually, because I didn't have any, I had friends, but they weren't close. And I lived like on a dirt road and no one was around. So I spent a lot of time reading, and then I moved to LA, and then fast forward, I ended up working in the music industry doing digital marketing. It was really awesome. I loved working in music. I worked at Epitaph and Anti Records and got to work with some amazing artists. I just wanted to do something really challenging, and I loved reading and I love like critical thinking. So I decided to go to law school. Definitely challenging, as hard as everyone says it is, but I really stuck with it. And I also really, I learned a lot. So I really enjoyed it. And I was able to kind of, because I've been into cryptocurrencies and blockchain for a little bit, I decided that that would be, wow, that would probably be a great space in the law. And it really has been. So I just want to say, if anyone's a student and they're, you know, wondering if crypto or blockchain, I should say, is a good career, I just have to say there's so much opportunity.
Oh, there's so many opportunities. This place is so raw. They need literally everyone. And I love how you went from like middle of nowhere to music industry to law school. Like that's such a big journey. How did you get into crypto? How did you learn about it?
Yeah, so I learned about it actually when I was an undergrad at UC Berkeley, and I had a professor who he was teaching a virtual communities class, and I took a lot of like, I took beginning computer science classes while I was there. I learned how to program using Max MSP, and then I took this class because I was really into tech and just everything about it. And the professor taught us about Anonymous, and he taught about Bitcoin. And this was after
Oh my God, that sounds so cool.
Yeah, it was super cool. It was like after the Mt. Gox. So that was my first foray, and I kind of kept my ear to the ground.
Wait. So you learned about Bitcoin after the Mt. Gox crash,
yeah.
And you weren't thinking like, oh, this thing is already dead. you saw the value in it.
Yeah, because I really did. For me, I could tell that being able to transfer money or value, right, without that intermediary of the bank, I knew there was something there and you could see it working. And yeah, I mean, you know, I think the Silk Road was a first use case. And yeah, that is what it was. But you really saw it working. Yeah.
Right. It's interesting to see how, you know, I guess criminals sort of were the early adopters, but I guess good people saw promise in what they were working on. How did that develop? How did you get more into the technology side and like learn more about crypto aside from payments, for example?
You mean how did I get more into blockchain away from cryptocurrency? So that happened because I bought my first Bitcoin actually not that year, but I bought it the year after once I started working at Epitaph. And I didn't even buy a full one, right? I just bought a piece of one. And
do you remember how much it was?
God, I mean, honestly, the price was $600 and I think I bought like a quarter of one or a third.
Okay.
I like really didn't buy very much at that point. I was just jumping in. I wasn't sure. I was like, oh my God, $200, you know? And then I learned about Ethereum. I don't know how much later. It wasn't that much later. The white paper fell in my then boyfriend, now husband, our laps. And we read it. And I was just like, this is super cool. And then the DAO came out, right, with Socket or whatever. And I was like, I was actually really into that project, which is kind of embarrassing because everyone is like, why would that even work? But I mean, I really saw this opportunity of, I saw this like first use case and was like, what they're talking about, like decentralized autonomous organizations, it's really cool. I still think that's super cool. So that train started going and that was it. I was on it.
I think a lot of people share the same sentiments as you with the DAO. but also Ethereum, like it's so awesome that you got in on it when you read the white paper and the pre-sale. I love Ethereum too because like it really opened the floodgates for all of this. I say it's like the WordPress of crypto.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good comparison. And it was really true. And I have to say, with Ethereum, that was something where we were telling our friends in San Francisco, like, you know, a part of the startup culture there about Ethereum, and they were like totally poo-pooing it. They were like, no, that's, you know, you guys are crazy. It's a pyramid scheme, whatever. And I have to say, there's a lot to be said for trusting your gut. This whole experience, leaving the music industry, going to law school, focusing on blockchain, even when I started focusing my research on that in law school, like I do that on my own time. You don't get like a blockchain degree in law school. I don't think they offer that yet.
Right.
So people were like, when I was doing interviews at big law for big law firms, they were like, don't tell them what you're interested, be really broad. But my gut was like, I just am really into this. So I have to say, I really always give that advice to people. Like, listen to your truth because
definitely
you need to do you.
Definitely.
As cliche as that sounds.
No, you're so right. And, you know, 5 years from now, you're going to be like the top lawyer in the space. And
we'll see.
All of them who told you to just be broad can I'm not going to go.
And now a word from our sponsors. Hi, this is Matthew Aaron, and I want to tell you about Winding Tree, a marketplace for the travel industry. Winding Tree allows for permissionless innovation, as anyone can access inventory from the blockchain rather than having to ask today's middlemen for permission to resell flights and hotels. Winding Tree has some impressive partnerships already: Lufthansa, Air New Zealand, and Nordic Choice Hotels. Today's centralized versions of Winding Tree are GDS, or Global Distribution Systems. All they do is aggregate data from the airlines and put it under one data standard for resellers. Winding Tree is partnered with RSK and Zeppelin OS. If you're curious about Winding Tree, check out their website at windingtree.com. Now back to you, Ronnie.
Anyway, so I do wanna get back and like talk to you. I wanna know what your favorites are in this space. You know, you and I have talked a lot about different applications versus focusing on the tradings and, you know, the gains.
Yeah.
So I want to know, what are your favorite crypto applications, blockchain applications. What are you excited about?
There's a lot that I'm excited about. A lot of what I'm excited about is more, I think, I wouldn't say theoretical, but I think it has a core of like making the system better, like as a whole. And the system in two respects, the system is the blockchain system and the cryptocurrency system and all the other use cases and applications, but also the system of like the system we live in, both myself as a United States citizen, but as a global like world. Right. And so I was really drawn to, I had the opportunity to meet Galia, who's one of the co-founders of Bancor. And I looked into that more as a result. And I think what their team is doing is really cool, basically making the entire market of however many tokens, if it's 100,000, if it's 1 million, connecting tokens in a liquid market. So you can have a token for a small community, let's say where I grew up in Michigan, and have that be connected to other tokens. Really, there's no way to do that right now. So if what they do succeeds, which I really believe in what they're doing, then that's going to be a really integral part of the whole ecosystem.
Yeah, Bancor. Bancor's a big love of mine. It's an Israeli company. So whenever I hear people talking about them, I'm like, yeah. Oh, stop. A lot of pride. But I do agree with you. I like that they're basically giving these smaller tokens, these niche tokens, a chance.
Yeah.
Because so many of them, you know, if there's not a lot of liquidity, if somebody doesn't think that they can sell quickly if needed, then they're terrified.
That's so true. Like, who would buy a coin where you can't turn around and sell it? You know, it was interesting. Exactly. I didn't even really think about some of these things, but I was in my securities class at law school, and the professor was actually asking me questions because we spent 2 days on ICOs in law school. He was talking about how it's really changing. Like, what is an investment contract? He was saying it used to be just kind of like a blip in the semester, like, oh, this is an investment contract. There's a case called Howie or whatever. That's it. And you move on. And he's like, now we're focusing on this case because the investment contract is so important to regulating the ICOs. So
I'd love to be a fly on the wall in your classes associated with this.
It's awesome. It's really interesting. And he was asking me, he's like, well, how do you buy these digital currencies? And I was like, you just go and buy them. And he's like, what, there's a market? And I didn't really understand what he was asking. I was like, yeah, I mean, it's like a trading, you know, platform, and you just go.
It's an exchange.
It's an exchange.
Or no, you like send it to their address. Yeah. And they send it back to you.
Well, yeah, but you're basically, it's an exchange. You're right. And I realized what he was asking. I'm like, yeah, the market's liquid. And he's like, so you can, there's no problem. Someone will buy it. I'm like, you haven't looked at the market cap on this, apparently. Like, there's no problem. Right. There's people that are buying it.
Right,
so,
right.
So back to Bancor, and then I'll, you know, we can move on. But giving the opportunity for these smaller markets to then be liquid and trade that's a powerful concept. So
do you have any others that you're really excited about?
I do. I mean, it's so funny because I think there's so many opinions out there, but about what's good. And I've always been a big fan of Tezos. I think it goes back to my kind of fascination with the original DAO pre-hack, of this idea of, it really illuminates this different models for decentralized governance. And Tezos, you know, the way that they focus on that, I think, really, really highlights an important topic about who's incentivized to make right decisions for the platform. And that was something they really thought through.
Can you speak a little more on that?
I guess I'll just take a minute to just talk about incentives, because I think that concept plays a really important role post cryptocurrencies and blockchain and pre. And, you know, as a
guy, she's about to drop some legal knowledge on you. So listen up.
Something I really was drawn to when I was studying the law was this concept of, or this realization dawned on me of like, oh, all the laws are built around incentivizing people to do things, right? So something's illegal because, and they have a really harsh penalty because we really, you know, murder, you can get the death penalty in some states because we really don't want you to do that. So we're incentivizing you. There's arguments about whether those incentives work, and they're very valid, and we could go do a whole podcast about that. I won't do that, but that's just an example of
next episode.
Yeah, that's what laws do, is they incentivize people. So with companies, they're like, corporations are not incentivized to share. They're not really incentivized to collaborate unless they're going to get something. You know, open source technology has been around for a while, and we've seen really great things come from it, but still, big companies don't want to have open source projects because they want to keep everything to themselves, keep it proprietary so they can make all the money. And something that I've noticed that I think I have a feeling we're going to see a lot more of is what's really inherent in blockchain, even Bitcoin, Satoshi built incentives in. So you're incentivized. It's very difficult to get like 51% of the mining power. But even if you did, if you take down the system, your Bitcoin's worth nothing. So you're incentivized to keep it going and keep the system healthy. I mean, there's problems with it, and there, you know, there's a lot of change going to be happening with like the potentially with the Lightning Network.
And on that note of, you know, open source, like now new companies are incentivized to make their projects open source, because as people can trust their project, they want to invest in their coin. They want to buy their coin. And that's going to raise the price and raise the support. How does that apply to Tezos?
Tezos, they really thought about that incentive structure. Like, okay, if the miners have all the power, then they're incentivized to maybe not do what's best. So what they wanted to do with Tezos was give the power back to the stakeholders. That's about all I can say about that, because I feel like Kathleen and Arthur are pretty brilliant and their white paper is super dense. So if anyone has any, you know, questions about that, I really suggest you go online and look into it. I think it's a really awesome project, hoping that we'll see that continue in the future, even though they're kind of in a shaky spot right now.
That aside, again, I think they're both pretty brilliant, and this is a pretty cool project. And it's, you know, if people want to learn more about it, they can also come to Cyber Days. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
So Cyber Days is an event that's hosted by the UCLA Blockchain Lab. It's a group of us, both current students and graduates, who really wanted to inspire the Los Angeles community. There's a lot happening here. The scene's growing really quickly. And so we wanted to host a conference that was focused more on some, like, kind of elevating the conversation a little bit away from ICOs. I will just say, like, ICOs have their place. There's a lot of really cool stuff about them. We just wanted our conference to focus on, for example, we have a panel on humanitarian efforts around blockchain, or how blockchain can help the world. We have
I need to go to this.
Love to have you. Please come out. So our panels are really focused on kind of elevating the conversation, talking about some of the stuff we talked about today, right? Like, you know, incentivization, some academic viewpoints on the technology and where we're going in the future.
You're focusing more on the applications and how it can actually be used in the world to benefit us. Because, you know, if we're not applying it anywhere, then we're just contributing to a bubble. Who's going to be featured there?
We have Stella Mokan from the World Bank who will be on the humanitarian panel. Kathleen Brightman from Tezos will also be at the event. She's really awesome. Sandra Rowe, who's done a lot of work in the space. Kavita Gupta from Consensus. I'm naming all women, but we also have some amazing male speakers as well. You can go on the site and check it out.
What else can they expect from this? What do you want your attendees to leave with, and what do you want them to do after the conference?
We want them to join the conversation, like, wherever they're at. If they're experts, great. Let's help bring new people into the community. Something I think is really important to emphasize is we're still so early in this that there's so much
for
room.
Sure.
People shouldn't feel embarrassed about being new. It's like, we need all the good ideas we can get to make this a really healthy, awesome, world-changing ecosystem. And we have to work with AI. We have to work with governments aren't going away anytime soon. We need policymakers. We need attorneys. We need accountants. We need people with ethics. I mean, we need as many people with ethics as possible, like any industry.
Definitely.
You know, I want to emphasize that's everywhere. But that's it. Just kind of get involved. We're going to have a lot of opportunities to sign up and stay connected so we can just help kind of keep everyone connected and move the conversation forward.
And just so everyone knows, they've been planning this since November. So they got all of this together in very little time, and they're pulling it off, and they have some amazing speakers lined up. I wish I could go to this conference. I checked flights today and they're like $600. I'm in New York right now and it's happening in LA. But if you can make it to LA, what are the dates again? The February 17th and 18th?
Yeah, February 17th and 18th in Los Angeles at the UCLA campus. If you go to cyberdays.info, all the info's there.
Sign up, guys. We're also hosting a giveaway on the Crypto 101 page. So be sure to check that out and you might just win a ticket to this conference. Veronica, I am so happy that you were on the show with us. I'm so excited to see this. I hope I get a lot of pictures. Maybe we can see some Facebook live streams for those who can't make it out to LA into the conference. Now, just to wrap things up, I have a final question for you. What are three songs that you want to play on this podcast episode?
So I want to play Off With Their Heads by the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. This is one of my favorite songs from AC/DC, which I can't remember the name of.
Thunderstruck?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, that one.
I've always been bad with song titles. And
that's okay.
The John Spencer Blues Explosion, Bell Bottoms.
Sweet. Love them. Not going to lie, I don't know any of these songs, but...
It's amazing rock and roll, so you got, so I hope I blows your mind.
It'll be awesome. I'm excited for this episode. Guys, if you have any questions, just check out cyberdays.info. Check out the Crypto 101 Facebook page. Okay, thank cool. you so much Thanks. Again, yeah. and we'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Thanks so much. Bye. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Explosion. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Crypto 101. ApogeeCrypto.com, that's ApogeeCrypto.com, the best place to check out your real-time prices, and I am getting very good at saying that. You might think I pre-record all of these things. No, I do it every time. That's Apogee Crypto. I am so good at saying that. And thank you very much to Veronica and Ronnie for doing this episode, and we will see you on the next episode of Crypto 101. Oh, by the way, patrons. We have another episode on the Patreon page for you, and this one is a surprise. One last final announcement. We are looking for a blog writer or blog writers and audio editors. So if you're interested in making a little spare cash, please send us an email, write some blogs for us, and edit some podcasts. This is Matthew Aaron with Crypto 101, and thank you very much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode with Kyber Network.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.